Amen. So, and then also the week after, we got our New Year's Eve worship experiences. And so some of you guys might be out of town, but you might be back in town for our New Year's Eve services. And so we're modifying those service times. They'll be at 10 a.m. and then also 10 p.m. So we're going to bring in the new year in the presence of God. We're going to be partying. We're going to have some food. We're going to have music. It's going to be crazy in here. 10 o'clock p.m., but then also 10 a.m. on December the 31st. And so, make note of that, and we can't wait to see you over these next few weeks. So let's all stand just for the reading of God's word. We're going to go to the book of John, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 9 through 11. And as we've said, we've been in this series now called Tis the Season. Everybody say, Tis the Season. Tis the Season. Tis the Season to be jolly. Tis the Season for Christmas movie marathons, the Elf movie marathon, the Santa Claus 1, 2, 3, and the new sitcom, The Santa Claus Is. We've been watching that as a family, but 'tis the season, more importantly, for the abundant life that Jesus came to give. Peace. He came to give you an abundance of that. We talked about that last week. So for some of you guys who are walking through some difficulties right now, I want you to know that the peace that surpasses all understanding is available to you today in Jesus. 'Tis the season for hope. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, that no matter how hopeless a situation looks, we want you to know that because of Jesus, you can still have hope. And today I want to lean into this third gift that he wants us to experience. Tis the season for love. And so we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Here's what it says. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. Going back to verse 9, here's what it says. God's love, if I say God's love, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So I want to preach from this theme and thought today, and I want to call today's sermon title, and it might be somewhat familiar for some of us. It's a play on a very popular Christmas song, but I want to call today's sermon, All He Wants for Christmas Is You. Tell the person beside you, all he wants is you this Christmas. That's all he wants. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for inviting us into your presence today. God, I pray that you would speak to us and you would renew us and refresh us through your word. Would you remove distractions and anything that would get in the way of us receiving and downloading what you have for us? We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat. Tis the season for love. All he wants for Christmas is you. Now, church family, I mentioned last week how Christmas time is oftentimes filled with many different sights and sounds. A few days ago, my family and I, we went to a place by the name of Christmas Town or Busch Gardens, which has a time of the year that they call Christmas Town, where the whole park is lit up with all different types of lights, and you hear Christmas music playing all over the place and things of that nature. So the season is filled with many different sights, but it's also filled with many different sounds. And there's a soundtrack that oftentimes come with seasons like this, where we hear songs like Silent Night. We talked about that last week. We hear songs like Oh Holy Night. They always got a lot of songs about nights. Right, Oh Come Let Us Adore Him. We sang that in the beginning of this worship service, and then you know This Christmas and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Right, all these different songs that happen and that are known to accompany the Christmas season. But one song that is extremely popular that has been considered to be the number one song on the Billboard charts for Christmas songs over the past few years is the song by Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Don't leave me hanging, 11 o'clock service. Y'all know this song. I don't know why we act like we don't know this song. Y'all are just as bad as the 9 o'clock service. Y'all were better last week. Don't get like 9 o'clock. But what's so interesting about this song, y'all, and look, I wasn't going to put the 9 o'clock service on the spot because they just weren't ready, and they did not disappoint. They weren't ready this morning. I have confidence in y'all a little bit, though. I believe that some of y'all know the words to this song, right? Not just the hook of the song, but you know some of the lines of the song. So let's try a little bit of experiment right here. I I want to test out our vocal cords and test out our Christmas song commitments here today. Ready? One, two, three. We got some over here. Come on, Samantha, I hear you over here. Y'all ain't got none over here. I hear it. Y'all, man, I'm so proud of y'all. All I want for Christmas. No, you guys, hold on. Y'all did it again. Y'all didn't stretch out to sleep in heavenly peace last week. You're not stretching out to you. Stretch out to you. All I want for Christmas is keep going. All right, that's good. There we go. I'm so proud of y'all. Y'all did not disappoint like the 9 o'clock service again. Proud of y'all. But what's so interesting about that song, y'all, as we talked about the Silent Night song last week, I've been trying to figure out why is this song so fascinating and capturing the attention of people over these past few years. And then I started to really unpack the lines of the song as you all just so incredibly sang just now. And almost every single line of the song, if you go back and look to it, it speaks to a central theme. And that central theme is a four-letter word called love. And it's interesting, and it almost makes sense at the same time, because if there's been anybody who's made nothing but songs that have been about love in so many different ways, it has been Mariah Carey. And when I think about that, it also makes sense as to why there's so many songs that are love songs that are oftentimes, number one, different across genres, whether it's love R&B songs or love rap songs or trap love songs, country love songs, all types of love songs. It's interesting. Got all these different types of love songs. But just some of y'all tripping. But do you know what it made me think about? It's like, man, I wonder if the reason why we are so obsessed with making love songs is because as a culture, we are love deprived. If we are actually love deficient. And so we make so many songs about love, and you got romance movies. And today, you know, Ariel and I, we're celebrating 12 years as a married couple in marriage. Happy anniversary, darling. But can I tell y'all this, y'all? When we were dating, there were some things that Ariel had me do that I despised. And she knows what I'm about to say. One of the things that I absolutely despised that we would do together would be to go to the movies and see these corny rom-com movies, these romantic movies. I don't want to see no romance on no screen and people falling in love after hating each other for a whole hour. I want to see something blow up. I want to see, come on, fellas, talk to me. Don't leave me hanging. I need to see somebody get shot. I probably shouldn't say that as a pastor. That's probably not good. I need to see somebody save the world, you know what I mean? Oh, man. And it would just drive me crazy. But even in seeing those movies, the one thing that always gripped my heart was how people would go above and beyond to either show their love for somebody, or they would go above and beyond to gain the love of somebody. Which is interesting because I think that speaks so much to not just our time and in our culture, but I think in many ways it speaks to what's happening here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 specifically. And just to give us some understanding and some context of what John is talking about here, in case you don't know who he is, John, who was one of the writers of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he wrote the Gospel according to John. He's also obviously the author of 1 John, this book that we're reading today. But John was one of the early apostles of Jesus. He was an eyewitness to the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he's writing to these believers and to churches here because the thing that they're dealing with right now is they're dealing with a crisis of faith because so many false teachers have been slithering and sliding in the DMs of the church, if you will. Talk to me, baby. And they've been sliding into the DMs and they've been saying things that are not accurate about Jesus. They've been questioning his deity. They've been questioning his humanity. They've been questioning his, what theologians call his incarnation, meaning that God the Son came from eternity and he came to earth and he put on flesh. They're questioning all of that. And as they're questioning it, one of the main results and the main things that happen as a result of this false doctrine and this false teaching is that love is absent. John is essentially saying, you want to know one of the ways in which you know it's not sound theology? It's because it doesn't produce love. He says love is absent here. And as he's talking to the church, he says this earlier in 1 John chapter 4, around verse 7. He says, dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God because God is love. So here's what he's saying. If you don't have God, you don't have love. Which is interesting because 99.9% of the romantic movies that we went to see when we were dating had no mention of Jesus at all in it. And so I wonder, how much of love do you really have here if God is absent? Because if he is the author of love and he is love, when we don't have him in our relationship or when we don't have him as the foundation for our life, then we really don't know what love is. How can we know, how can we claim to know what love is when we don't know the one who is love? How can we say that we really have an understanding of love when we don't know the one who is love? And when I think about that, what's happening in John's context, if we look at our own world, I think we could all agree that there's an absence of love in our culture. There's an absence of love in our communities. There's an absence of love in our families. There's an absence of love when it comes to our friendships. There's an absence of love when it comes to our homes. And there's maybe an absence of love in marriages. There's an absence of love on the job. There's an absence of love all around us. Love is lacking. People are starving for love. Can I say it like this? We're love sick as a culture because we're lacking in love. And one of the reasons why I think we also see such an obsession with love songs and love movies, if you turn on the Hallmark channel, there's Christmas love movies. If you turn on all these other channels, there's love movies and all this different type of love songs and all that. And I think part of the reason why we have such a knack for wanting to create these things is because in the deep parts of our soul, we desire to be loved. We crave love. And in and of ourselves, y'all, we got a love deficiency. We're lacking in love. But the good news is this, family, that in spite of there being a lack of love, I want you to notice John's words here in verse 9. He says this, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The question you gotta ask yourself is, why would God do this? In John 3:16, the same author who wrote this penned John 3:16, and he answers it for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish or be separated from God eternally, but have everlasting life. And can I give y'all this encouraging word? Well before Mariah Carey ever made a hit song called All I Want for Christmas Is You, God sent Jesus from heaven to earth to let you know all he wants for heaven, all he wants for Christmas is you. Well before this number one song hit the Billboard chart a few years ago, it was 2,000 plus years ago where God sent a message from heaven to let you know and to let I know, let myself know, and to let all of humanity know. The one thing that God desires this Christmas season is relationship with all of us, is a deeper connection with all of us. It's not about money. It's not about the clothes. It's not about careers. It's not about opportunities. No, all those things are good. But the thing that God desires most for us is relationship with us. I want you to write this down, that the proof of God's love for you is that he gave his best gift in the form of Jesus. Jesus was the best gift that he could give us. This is what Christmas is, it's all about. It's about God loving broken people in spite of their sin. And I think if you're honest, family, when you take inventory of our life, God has been loving us. He's been loving you. He's been loving me since the time we came out the womb. God has been patient with you. God did not give up on you. God gave you another chance after you blew the first one and the one after that. He's done all of these things because of his great love for you. And I don't know about you, but when I begin to think about all the mistakes that I've made and the sin that I've committed, the times where I fell short of his glory, but how he still loved me in spite of all of the things that I've done, I get excited because I recognize that it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be where I am today. I didn't deserve his goodness. I didn't deserve his grace. I didn't deserve his love. But thank God that he loved me in spite of my ways. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today at the 11 o'clock service that can say, I'm grateful for all that God has done, and I'm grateful that he continues to show me love? I love this because Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says it like this. It's one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's lifting up this prayer for the Ephesian church, and he says, I pray that Christ may dwell in you in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted and firmly established in love. That is God's desire for you, that you would be rooted and established in his love, not your mama's love, not your daddy's love, not your bae's love, not your parents' love, not your friend's love, rooted and established in his love, and that you might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, what is the width, what is the height, and what is the depth of God's love. I love this scripture, y'all, because here's what it lets me know. It doesn't matter where I find myself, God's love can reach me there. I want you to know, we used to sing a song back in the day in my old church. We would sing a song called, Jesus will reach way down to pick you up. And when you think about your own life, many of you are here today, and Jesus reached way down and picked you up out of the gutter. He picked you up out of the mire. He picked you up out of some low places. Come on, don't look at me like that 11 o'clock service, because the 9 o'clock service was looking at me real proud. But if you really take inventory of your life and look back over your life, there were things that you should not have made it out of. But the love of Jesus Christ reached way down and picked you all the way up. We used to sing that song and be like, if he has to reach way down, Jesus will pick you up. And for some of y'all, he had to get here. Come on, don't look at me like that. Y'all know what Jesus has done for some of you in here. I know for some of us in here, you got it all together. It's all polished, and I understand that you look all nice, and you've never made a mistake at all. You've never lied. You've never cussed anybody out. You never flicked anybody off when you were on your way to church because they cut you off on the interstate. You never argued with your kids. I know that you've never had anything like that happen in your life. But for the rest of us in here today that know exactly what it's like to fall short of the glory of God, but how God was still patient with you, and how he was still loving you, and how he was still good to you, give God praise for the fact that he never threw in the towel on you. Even when I messed up, his love for me didn't change. When you go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, and he says, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can I help you understand something, family? Christmas season is not about how much you love God. It's about you recognizing how much he loves you. Your life is not about how much you love him. Our life is about how much he loves us. There's no limitation to his love. It can reach you no matter where you are. Christmas is an invitation from God to experience the abundant love that he has for us. And I want to help you see these invitations that, in spite of his love, that he wants us to receive today. Number one is this. I want you to write this down. That Christmas is an invitation from God to embrace God's gift of love. Everybody say embrace. I want you to look at verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. God's love was revealed among us in this way. He sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. And then when you jump down to 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, here's what the Bible says next. And I love it. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and, watch this, to believe the love that God has for us. Here's what I'm trying to help us understand. God is saying, I've made my love available to you, but it's on you to receive it. I've shown you my love. It's on you to adopt it. I've lavished you with love, but it's on you and I to embrace it. God's desire is that we would experience life and life more abundantly, that we would live through his son, Jesus Christ, that we would have eternal life. That word eternal means zoe. It means to have the fullness of life, not just a life here on earth, but a life for all of eternity. And I love the fact that John says God's love was revealed, not the world's love, not culture's love. Culture's love is transactional. If you do this, then I'll do this. Culture's love is based upon whether you get it right. But I thank God that God's love is not based upon whether I get it right or get it wrong. I thank God that his love is not transactional, that if you do this right, then I'll love you. I thank God that I don't have to be perfect in order to experience the love of Christ, but no, when I receive the love of Christ, he begins to perfect me. God's love, y'all, is available to us, but it's on us to embrace it. I want you to see, family, that his love is intentional in nature, which is why the Bible says that he sent his only son. He sent, which means God took an intentional step to come towards you. Why is this so important? Because when other people are walking out of your life, God is always the one walking to you. When other people are ready to throw you away, God is ready to embrace you. When you feel betrayed and abandoned by people, I'm here to let you know that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going nowhere. When you feel misunderstood and nobody's there for you, he says, I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. His love for you is intentional. He intentionally sent Jesus. It wasn't accident. It wasn't accidental. It was intentional. But not only is his love intentional, but his love is sacrificial. Because the Bible says he sent not just his son, but he sent his one and only son. That's how you know that's a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice if I give you a gift and I got plenty of it. It's a sacrifice when I'm giving you something that I don't have a lot more of. This word, one and only, is the Greek word monogenes, meaning this, it's the only one of its kind. Meaning this, that Jesus is one of a kind, and God the Father sent his one of a kind gift in the form of his son Jesus to show you how much I love you. Jesus, God is saying, I'm gonna show you how much I love you by giving you the best that I got. Ain't that a song from back in the day? I'm giving you the best that I got. Y'all see how all these songs be trying to rip off Jesus but don't ever give Jesus credit? God says, I'm gonna give you the best that I have in the form of my son, sacrificial. And the Bible also says that not only was he his one and only son, but the reason why he gave him was to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Why is that so important? Because every single person in here, as I said last week, has sinned. Every single person. You have fallen short. Come on, let's be honest. This is church. I believe that church should be the safest place to have the most difficult and transparent conversations. Some of y'all sinned right before you got here. Come on. Some of us got pride in our hearts right now. Some of us got some things that we said that we know were not of God. Some of us have thought some things that are not of God. We sinned in our mind and in our hearts. When you had that thought, man, I could just knock you out. It's a heart issue. And all of us have fallen short. And the Bible says, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, which means that every single time you and I fall short of his glory, we should experience the punishment for that, which is judgment and eternal separation from God. But the second part of Romans 6:23, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, here's what it also says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Praise God for the gift of Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but when I look back over my life, I have run up the sin debt. I've run up the sin tab. Have you ever been to a restaurant that you were just having a time of your life and you ordered this and you ordered that and you were just enjoying it, but then you got the ticket? Come on, even some of y'all who are really, like, you're penny pinchers and all that, but even you were shocked. Like, wait a minute, this was not my calculations. Anybody ever had that moment before? Can I let us know something, family? You and I have run up the sin tab. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were at a place and you didn't have enough money to pay the bill. But I'm here to let us know that when it came to our sin, none of us had enough in the spiritual bank account of our life and of our soul and of our heart to pay that debt. But God sent Jesus to pay the tab for us. God sent Jesus to cleanse it for us. God sent Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that word atoning sacrifice is actually Old Testament language, because in the Old Testament, how God would cover and forgive the sins of the people is he would have somebody that he would call and deem as a high priest. And they would come in the Old Testament and they would take an animal, typically a lamb of some kind, and they would slaughter the animal, and the blood that was laid on the altar would now be covering the sins of the people. They would do this at least once a year, and it was called the Day of Atonement. Can you imagine being in the Old Testament every single year? You got to bring your animals. You got to bring a lamb, and this lamb was going to take all of your sins every year. Now, I don't know about y'all. If I was living in the Old Testament, I'm going to need more than one lamb. And I don't know if there's enough lambs to run around. But then by the time we get to the New Testament, the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And not only does it say he's the Lamb of God, but it also says that he's our great high priest. So in Jesus, Jesus was not just the sacrifice, but he was also the one making the sacrifice. He's the great high priest, and he's also the great I am in the form of the Lamb of God. And he didn't get on an altar. He got on a cross, and his blood ran down a cross on Calvary 2,000 plus years ago to cleanse us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. And I don't know about you. I love different Christmas gifts. I love all the things that you might love. But the thing that I love more than anything else is not the gifts under the tree, but it's the gift that hung on the tree. And his name is Jesus Christ, because his blood ran down and covered all of my sins. That's what we celebrate during this Christmas season. He was sacrificial in nature. But I love it because John also says that God loved us, not because we loved him first, but because he is love and he loved us first. He loved us, meaning this, he went first before we even had an opportunity to respond. God loved you and I in our most unlovable state. Look at verse 10. Love consists in this: not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Y'all, I don't know about you guys. God took a chance on us to say, I'm gonna love you with the possibility that you'll reject me. I'm gonna put myself out there, even though you might push against me. I'm gonna love you, even though I know some of you won't love me in return. Y'all, that's unconditional love. God says, I love you in spite of who you are. I love this because God didn't wait on us to love him, but instead he loved us while we were lost. He loved us in spite of our sin. He loved us in spite of our disobedience. He loved us in spite of our ways. He loved you in spite of you. He loved you when you weren't thinking about him. He loved you when you were at the club not thinking about him. He loved you when you were lying. He loved you when you were cussing people out. He loved you when you were messed up. God loved you even when you were going against his word and going against his ways. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful about the fact that he chose to love you in spite of you? God is the only one who knows the most about you and still yet loves you the most. If most people knew everything there was to know about you that God knows, they would choose to walk away. But God is the only one who says, I know everything about you, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you ever will do. And my love for you has not changed. It is still the same, and it will always be the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And some of you are here today online and in person, y'all, and some of us are even Christians, and you've forgotten how much God loves you. So now what's happened is you're living your life trying to earn what he wants you to simply embrace and receive. Because you've forgotten how much God loves you, now you try to find love in people. Now you try to find love in accolades. Now you try to find love in accomplishments. Now you try to find love in achievements. But God is simply saying, hey, I don't want you to work for my love. I want you to receive it. I want you to embrace my love. I don't want you to reject it. I want you to embrace it. Matter of fact, I want to give you a visual of how some of us are oftentimes doing when it comes to God. Ariel, can you come up here for a quick second? Because I think oftentimes when it comes to us loving God and when it comes to him loving us, God is simply saying, I just want to love you. And he simply comes to us and he wants to embrace us, but how we live is like this. We're pushing him away. Got a little force there. A little strong right there. Right? And so God simply said, hey, will you let me love you? Will you, ain't that a love song too? Let me love you? Right? Oh, y'all see all this stuff? Right? It's crazy. Right? It's a playlist. And God said, hey, let me show kindness to you. Let me show patience to you. Let me lead your life. And here's what we're saying. No, God, I don't want it. Yeah. He's chasing us, but we're going in the opposite direction. We're fighting against God. He's doing everything he can to show us love. And this is how this is it. We're fighting. And many of us are living life that way, where God is trying to love you and he's trying to show grace to you, but you're pushing him away because you're trying to do your own thing. No, God, I got this. No, God, I got this. This is my marriage. I got this. No, God, these are my kids. I got this. No, God, this is my job. I got this. No, God, this is my school and this is my career. I got this. But God is saying, you can't do it on your own. But instead of rejecting it, just receive it. Isn't it so much easier? Is this so much better? God is saying this. He said, thank you. God is saying to some of you, stop fighting me. Just receive. Just receive. Sleep in heavenly peace, right? Just receive. Just receive. That's all.
It's like a baby fighting a nap.
Right? It's like, he says, like a baby fighting a nap. Yeah. Where the kids just, why are you fighting? But how many of us spend our lives, we're fighting against the love of God. And here's how we know we're fighting it, because we're trying to find love in all the wrong places. You're trying to find love in this relationship. You're trying to find love in this accomplishment. You're trying to find love here. Then you're trying to find love there. And it's leaving you deprived. And God says, if you will stop rejecting my love and start receiving my love, then you will find the fulfillment that you've been looking for. Then you will find the satisfaction that you've been looking for. Then you will find the joy that you've been searching for. When you and I recognize how much God loves us, we don't have to live for the love and the approval of other people. When we understand that God gave his best gift in the form of Jesus to show us how much he loves you, no longer do I have to live based upon the opinions of people. If you like me, cool. If you don't like me, cool. My Father loves me. I'm good. And that's the invitation of Christmas, that we would embrace God's love, not reject his love. I want you to write this down. You can't earn God's love, but you can embrace it. You can't earn it, y'all. I don't care what you do. Your earnings is not enough for his love. His standard is perfection. You can't do it on your own. And he says, because you can't do it perfectly, I'm going to come down and do it for you. How you know God's love is different is because the world says, when you clean yourself up, then come to us. God says, because you can't clean yourself up, I'm going to come to you to do the cleaning for you. I thank God that we don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to him. I thank God that I don't have to, trying to clean myself up before I go to God, it's like washing my car before I go to car wash. It makes no sense. But God says, hey, let me do the cleaning. Let me do the perfecting. You don't have to have it all together. Just receive my love. And here's the good news about love, because many times people are oftentimes looking for love. I'm here to let you know, you don't have to go looking for love, because love in the form of Jesus came looking for you. Love came down looking for you 2,000 plus years ago when he came down from heaven to earth through the virgin named Mary. He came down to show you that I've been looking for you all your life. You weren't searching for me, but I've always been searching for you. Thank God that we got a God who loves us so much that he didn't wait for us to come to him. And the reality was, we couldn't come to him on our own, but he came to us through Jesus. So he says, I want you to embrace my love. But not only does he want us to embrace his love, but here's what he wants us to do next. Once we embrace his gift of love, he wants us to extend his gift of love. Everybody say extend. Here's what John says in 1 John 4:11. He says this, dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. Here's what John is saying. If God loved you in a crazy, great, sacrificial way, and you've received that, the response to that is to love others in the same way. If God has been patient with you, you should be patient with others. If God forgave you, you and I should forgive others. If God extended kindness to you, you should extend kindness to others. Here's what 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, or 16 says. This is how we've come to know love. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And if anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need, but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Watch verse 18. John gets real parental here with the church. Little children, 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 let us not love in a word or speech, but in action and in truth. John says, if you know somebody has need and you could do something about it, but you don't do anything about it, how are you walking in love? You can offer somebody a word of encouragement, but you don't. That's not love. You can help meet somebody's tangible physical need, but you choose not to. That's not love. And then later on, John says it like this. How can y'all say that you love God whom you've never seen before, but hate your brother who you see all the time? That's contradictory. He says, there's no way in the world that you can say you love God and have the love of God, but you don't love people. But Pastor Edwin, you don't know how people get on my nerves. Here's what I know. There's been plenty of times where you've done things that have gone contrary to God's will, but yet he was still patient with you. The Bible says that God is our Heavenly Father. Helps us to see his parental role in our lives. And just as a parent has to be patient with a child, God has also been patient with us. How many times, come on, let me come down your row for a moment. How many times has God gotten you out of a situation that you got yourself into? I hear God saying to some of you, I told you not to date this same type of person. It's the same person with a different mask. Same person. And you know, fell for him every single time. But he still loves you. How many times has God told us, don't go this way, go that way. Don't touch this. But we did it anyhow. And yet he still loved us. He says, you are supposed to love others in the same way. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. I believe that the church should be the most prolific example of what love looks like, because we know the one who is love. And if we are his people, his church, we're his children. His children should begin to look like who he is. So Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. He says this, therefore be imitators of God as dearly loved children. In other words, Paul's saying, just like your heavenly daddy walks in love, you too, as his kid, need to walk in love. Just like a child oftentimes imitates their parents, have you oftentimes heard the saying that there's more that's caught than taught? When you think about that, I want you to think about how often God has loved you. And when you think about that, you and I should catch on to that and begin to imitate that and display that and demonstrate that to other people on a regular basis, even people that you don't like. There's two messages that are oftentimes preached in our church historically for almost 10 years that rarely get amens. You know what they are? When I start talking about love and when I start talking about forgiveness. The church goes quiet. The church starts skipping church. All that. I'm going to just watch online this week. I get it, because it's hard sometimes to love people that we don't always see eye to eye with. It's hard to love people that don't agree with you all the time. It's hard to love your brother who gets on your nerves. It's hard to love your sister who gets on your nerves. It's hard to love the person on your job when they're trying to get you fired from your job. It's hard to love somebody who's betrayed your trust. It's hard to forgive somebody after they've wronged you. I get it. But Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. He says, walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Here's what Paul says. He says, the reason why you love them is not because of them. The reason why you love them is because of him. He's the motivation behind why you love. So the reason why I'm called to love you is not because you get it right. It's because he's right. The reason why I extend forgiveness to you, even though you wronged me, is because when I was wrong against him, he forgave me. The reason why I'm patient with you, even though you are getting on my last nerve right now, is because when he could have cast me out, he adopted me in. And family, if we're going to walk in love, we got to be willing to love people of all kinds. You got to love your friends, your family, and even your foes. Them haters that we like to talk about. Them haters are just my elevators. Right? You ever want to see a sermon trend on YouTube or whatever? Start talking about haters. I don't really hear a whole lot of messages where people talk about loving their haters. That sounds more like Jesus, though. Because when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what... I'm going to tell you why Jesus is better than me. Because if y'all put me on this cross... and y'all are standing there looking at me get crucified, I'm saying, Father, just go and kill them all. You're done. They deserve everything that they got coming to them. Kill them. I'm done with this. I'm good. I've taken enough lashes on my back. I done bled for these jokers, and they still spitting on me. Didn't nobody want to help carry the cross, none of this. Now we out of here. Start Earth all over again. This is send another flood. Burn it up. Thank God that Jesus is not like us. Thank God that he doesn't treat us the way we would treat others. Thank God that he's patient and kind and merciful. And so because he has been that towards us, he says, I want you to be that towards other people. I gave you the principle. I want to give you some practicals because I think this will help us walk this out, because I think sometimes this is where we need some help and some assistance. And it's going to be hard, but by the grace of God, we're able to do it. So here's some acts of love and how we can extend the gift of God's love. And I think during this holiday season, if there's one thing that people need more than anything else, they need love. It means this: I got to forgive the person who wronged me. You know who it is. When you think about this person, your blood pressure start getting up a little bit. Ungodly thoughts begin to pop in your mind because of something that they did. Forgive that person. Hear me, I didn't say trust that person again. I said forgive that person. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. Forgiveness is meant to be free. Trust has to be earned. He says, I want you to freely give forgiveness because he freely forgave us. For some of us, it's the flip side. We need to apologize for how we wronged somebody else. Do you know two words that can set a person free and set a relationship free? I'm sorry. Come on, let's practice that for a quick moment, because this, for some of us, this is where we need deliverance. Come on, say it together on three. One, two, three. I'm sorry. For some of us, that's what we need to walk in. Come on, husbands, wives, I'm helping some of y'all out. Parents, kids, I'm helping some of us out. I need to say I'm sorry. Some of us accuse some people of things that they never did, and you never went back and apologized for it. You need to go back and say, I'm sorry. But Pastor, that happened 10 years ago. Make it right. I'm sorry. For some of us, it means doing a kind gesture for somebody this holiday season. Instead of maybe thinking about your own household and the gifts that you can get your own family, your immediate family, maybe it's being a blessing to people that are not a part of your family. Maybe it's being a blessing to a coworker. Maybe it's helping to meet someone's need. Maybe it's not returning evil for evil, that when other people are gossiping about you, it doesn't mean that you gossip about them. Walk in love. It means that I'm going to be patient with somebody who's difficult. This is love, y'all. This is big boy, big girl Christianity right here. Because what this world needs more of is love. Not the cheap imitation worldly love. That's why John says, for God's love was revealed among us in this way. God's love. Everybody say God's love. I told y'all last week that there's a difference between the authentic Fruity Pebbles and the store brand. Matter of fact, our drummer Jay, we were talking before service. He was like, hey, Pastor, did you get the text message I sent you? And it was two pictures. One was a picture of the real thing, and the other was a picture of the store brand. And we were laughing about it. It was like, hey, man, them things are not the same at all. That cereal gets soggy real quick. Can I help you understand something? The world's definition of love is a cheap imitation of that which is godly. It doesn't last long. This world needs something that lasts. It needs substance, and the substance is found in Christ. I want you to write this down, that people are able to experience the love of God when we express and extend the love of God. And I want to close with this thought, that in this season, family, what God wants you and I to experience and wants others to experience the most is his love. That's what this Christmas season is all about. That's what this season comes down to. It's about the love of God shown through Jesus. I'm here to let you know, you might not get a gift at all from anybody. And I'll be honest, it can be a little disappointing. Everybody likes to get gifts. But can I let you know, even if you don't get a single gift from anybody, you've already gained access to the greatest gift that you could ever receive, and it's the gift of love in Jesus. If you don't ever get a Christmas card from somebody, if you don't ever get the things that you were asking for and hoping for, I want you to know that in Christ Jesus, you got the ultimate gift, which is the gift of love. And here's what's so awesome about it. It wasn't based upon your performance. I'm so glad that Jesus isn't like Santa Claus, the nice list and the naughty list. The nice kids get all the good stuff. The naughty kids get all the colds and the bad stuff. Can I help us all understand here? There are no nice people on the nice list. Every single person in here has been on the quote-unquote naughty list because of our sin, because of our brokenness, because of our disobedience. But thank God that he didn't give us a lump of coal. Thank God that he didn't give us what our sins deserve. But he gave us a greater gift in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us love. He gave us mercy. He gave us grace. He gave us kindness. He gave us the greatest gift, because all he wants for Christmas is you. He didn't push you away. He said, I want you more than anything else. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment as we prepare just to close out this worship experience. But I want you to know this, family, that no matter what it is that you are feeling in this season, some of you don't feel loved at all because of things that have happened to you. Maybe there's been some abuse that's happened. Maybe there's been some neglect that's happened, some painful moments that's happened. I want you to know that in the midst of the painful moments that you've experienced, in the midst of the difficulties that you've experienced, I want you to know that his love for you has not changed. I want you to know that this season, he wants you to experience his love. Tis the season, not just to be jolly, tis the season to experience God's gift of love. And I'm going to leave you with this thought as we prepare to pray, that Jesus is God's gift of love to us. Our life is our gift of love to him. You want to know the gift that you can give to him in this season? Give him your faith. Give him your trust. Give him your life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, this afternoon, you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to embrace his love. I'm tired of fighting against his love. Today, I want to receive his love. I want to be everything that he's called me to be. I want to tap into his goodness. I want to tap into his goodness and his love and his grace. If this is you today, where you're honest and like, I need to be in relationship with him. I've been running from him. Today, I want to run to him. I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith and a prayer of commitment and confession. It's a prayer that allows you to come into relationship with him. Say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? I receive your life. I receive your love today. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate the love of Christ today and all those who said yes to Jesus? Come on. Amen. And I want to let you know, if you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, whether you're online or in person, you have made the greatest decision that a person could ever make. And we say, welcome home. Welcome to the family of God. If you said yes today, amen. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you said yes to Christ and you prayed that prayer, today is like the day where you say, Pastor, today I want to come back to him. I've been running from his love, but today I want to receive his love. I want you to take that connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. And I want you to check the box that says, I'm committing my life to Christ today. I want you to fill that out, drop that in the drop box on your way out, so that way we can follow up with you and share some next steps. If you're watching online, I want you to text I decided to 94,000, and we'll get in touch with you, help you take your next step as well. I don't know about y'all, but I'm grateful that we got a God who loves us in spite of us, and he proved that to us by sending Jesus. Amen, amen. As Pastor Eric gets ready to come up to close us out, let's talk about a few last things right before we are dismissed. Remember, next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. Next Sunday's Christmas at the Bridge. We can't wait to see everybody here. 8:30, 10, and 11:30. Be sure to invite people. It is a great opportunity to extend the love of Christ by inviting them to church service next week. Whether you're going to be in person or online, invite somebody so that way they can experience the love of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. Come on, can we celebrate God's goodness as Pastor Eric comes to close us out?